It starts.
Well, bam!
Yeah, it's a salvageable Talk Radar 54. We're in full E3 recovery mode.
Remember Talk Radar 10 last year?
Yeah.
It's going to be that way.
Yeah. Hopefully this will all work out to be. We've been updated you twice, and thank you for the listeners who actually tuned in and checked our site compared to those who abandoned us for other sites during this week. You let pressing week of traffic. Sorry, boss.
Yeah. you know what I think it's like? I think, E3 week Games Radar becomes the true identity of Games Radar comes out. Because, you know how sometimes you have the girlfriend you hang out with all week, and then you have the girlfriend that you go out and get drunk with on the weekend?
Yeah.
We're that girl. So hey. People just don't know that we're here drinking.
Hey, all right.
Can I say something real quick?
Yes.
Hi, this is Eric.
No, it's Eric Bratcher joining us again for the first time in
a long time.
Hold on, I can do this.
Oh,
some of you were born.
Can you?
46 podcasts, Eric Bratcher has made it back.
Wow. Yeah. Chris Santista, hired for his math skills.
Yeah, I kind of outbretted Brett there for a second.
You didn't outbret me. I was waiting to make sure you got it right.
All right.
Talk Radar 8 posted the first week of July.
You kids and your numbers.
Big E3 week, and I want to preface everything we say about E3. Because last year's podcast was really depressing. We flew in, we're recording. We're going to post this in like 2 hours.
Yeah.
E3 is really fun and a great thing to be at. It just kicked the shit out of me.
I'm really tired.
You know, the thing people don't realize who've never been to E3 is it is complete and total sensory overload.
Yeah.
You see more than you could possibly process.
Yeah.
You hear more than you can possibly process. Unfortunately, some days you smell more than you can possibly process.
The analogy I used, and we were driving in the car, was like it's like standing in an explosion.
Yeah.
Because you can't see how big it is and the impact of what happens because you're in it. So we would hear later about, like, right now Left 4 Dead 2 apparently has a giant negative campaign against it.
Yeah.
The vibe at the show was, holy shit, Left 4 Dead 2 rocks.
Okay, yeah. I didn't see the Mario Galaxy 2 trailer until a couple minutes ago.
Yeah.
I still haven't seen the Metroid screens. I was at E3.
it's very Eye of the Hurricane stuff.
And it
literally will take a couple days for you to process everything.
Yeah, it's also about 20-hour work days for online.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, online. It's left me a beaten and broken man, and luckily...
More so than you were before.
Luckily, I'll get a little time off. Different podcast next week. Anyway, like, I think we should move into the top seven, and I hate to dwell on it for
gonna
too
long. You're going to be dead next week.
I am going to be dead next week. Or freelancing another magazine. Look for Schmish Mantista, cranking out stuff at GamePro.
You'd need an alias.
I know you guys want to get into the E3 stuff. Oh, and I should tease that we have interviews with Valve, and Capcom coming up later. And we also we're going to give away Uncharted 2.
We have Uncharted 2 multiplayer betas to give away.
Nice.
There's an article already up on the site right now. It's in the features tab. I think it's called Hey, We Have Uncharted 2 Betas for You.
Right.
It's a contest. Just tell us the coolest part about that gameplay demo that Sony showed during their press conference. Coolest or most interesting nuance, something that you noticed about it.
Yeah.
We'll pick 14 of the best. We'll message you this coming Monday. And also in next week's podcast, we'll reiterate in case you didn't listen. Yeah.
That's what you got to love about Brett Elston. I was willing to tease that until the third segment and make you wait. He gave it straight to you.
Yep.
And tell everybody, like, if you enter, log in and check your account Monday, because we may have sent you your beta key.
But yeah.
It's official. It's forfeit after. Okay, never mind.
Actually, we'll never know if they don't ever get it. But what? That's just such a waste.
I won't be here. Jesus, when I get back, we have some bomb interviews that I know at least El Pork is going to fucking love.
Yeah.
So
who do we have other than Vlav?
Vlav? Oh, we have
Capcom. Because it's spelled just like Sav, so
I don't know why. We have Capcom. I'm not going to tell you who we interview from Capcom. But I think you guys are in for a real treat.
It's Mega Man.
It is Mega Man.
Yeah.
It is Mega Man.
Then earlier this week, if you somehow are listening to this and missed the E3 updates, we also talked about
interviews
with Assassin's Creed 2.
Lead designer of Rock Band Beatles, or the Beatles Rock Band. That took me a while to find.
And he made fun of me.
He makes fun of Brett. We have interviews with the Bayonetta guy, Assassin's Creed combat designer.
Did he realize that you don't know who the Beatles are?
Oh, we quizzed him.
Oh, yeah, I got some quizzes.
Oh, dear heaven.
We quizzed him. My favorite question, which, to Brett's credit, he got, was, what Beatles album is a solid white color?
No, that wasn't the question.
It was something like that, I forget.
That wasn't the question, but...
I can't remember. Doesn't matter, because I'm not going to be editing out any of the gaffes and stupid bombs and this.
Did he ask you stuff like... Oh, never mind. We'll get to that.
Yeah, the top seven this week, pre-E3, was what?
The top seven crushing letdowns in E3 history. Yeah. The most dismal disappointments.
Other than...
There you go. That's the disappointment.
Other than anything that happened this year.
Yeah, we can't include that, because it hadn't happened.
It had not happened yet. Number seven is the DS revealed. In E3 2004, and it's strange looking back on this.
I know exactly what he's talking about.
Yeah, this was the first E3 that I ever went to, actually, and they announced, I kind of brought out the PSP and DS in the same day.
Yeah.
And when you look at them initially, imagine no history for either one.
Yeah.
PSP blows it away.
Mm-hmm.
With nothing else to go on but what it looks like. And this is back when touch...
Is it going to play movies?
We don't need two screens and one of them is a touch screen. Get this out of my face.
Yeah. Like what on earth can you watch two screens at once? I don't think I can. Yeah. What do we need that for? That's really... You know, DS stood for dumb...
The DS originally, I swear to God, I thought it was an April Fool's joke. I didn't believe that was real until...
Yeah.
I think everybody reported it with a question mark next to it.
Yeah.
But, what a difference.
Well, plus they kept referring to it. If you remember, they also said, this is the third pillar of our strategy.
Like, yeah.
It seemed as though they were trying to position it as an alternative to the Game Boy Advance. But we're still going to make the Game Boy Advance, and it's going to go forward, and there's going to be another Game Boy.
Yeah.
The DS is this other thing we're doing. In retrospect, it was probably trying to see if they could get away with the Wii Wand.
Which is...
so many, it's the same thing.
Which is funny because now Sony's doing the exact same thing with PSP Go. Mm-hmm. Oh no, PSP regular and Go and the PlayStation 3 will all exist.
Yay!
But now, of course,
we'll get to that.
We will get to that.
Now, of course, though, PSP is, pretty divisive, and then also the DS is the complete runaway success.
Yep.
The past 20 years.
In retrospect, it wasn't really that crushing.
Yeah.
Just felt like it at the time.
It felt like it at the time. Number six.
Deals.
Crushing the E3 letdown, history of letdowns.
You want to start that sentence again?
Sure.
God of War 3 trailer, E3 2008, last year.
That was the toughest, it was a weird E3, and it was a tough spot for Sony. God, I was like almost mad at them for not showing a more substantial trailer. It was Kratos standing on a fucking mountain.
Slow zoom. Yeah, it's important to clarify that the letdown isn't that God of War 3 existed.
No,
it was that... All we knew was that God of War 3 exists.
It needed God of War gameplay like so bad last year.
Yeah.
Little Big Planet was like on the verge of already coming out, and it was like the biggest thing they had.
Yeah.
And that didn't go over very well.
They just needed something, because Little Big Planet was cute and fun to watch, but they needed something that just kicked you in the balls.
It's something the Xbox, even though Little Big Planet is something the Xbox didn't have, but Xbox owners would want.
Would you say it was the agent of last year's E3?
The agent of last year's.
Then the game they announced this year and then didn't. Hey, we have an exclusive Rockstar game. Anyway, mod racers.
There's a gun in the logo!
To be fair, they did that with a DS last year, Chinatown Wars. All
was
a logo.
That's true,
And what's number five?
Well, number five is on the next page, so I gotta click. This is a live podcast.
Number five is alive.
Number five is the N64 is a no-show at E3 95. Back in the 90s, here we go.
Shouldn't that be my speech?
But apparently it's always Brett.
It being a Nintendo in the 90s, very up my ass.
That's fine. I'm happy to not have to give the old guy speech for once.
Because this was like, after Super Nintendo, Genesis, it was always like, what is the next thing going to be? It's going to be the N64. The whole thing was that N64 was going to launch for a while in 95. I'm pretty sure when Killer Instinct and Cruisin' USA first came out in arcades...
They
had the Ultra 64 logo and a voice... The Killer Instinct announcer voice said, "Cuckoo Combo Breaker," and all that shit.
There we are.
Hey, there he is. That guy's voice in the original KI arcade machine with the N64 logo, which was called Ultra 64, would say, "Coming home exclusively, fall of 1995, Nintendo Ultra 64. And it was like, this is going to happen. And then E3 95 comes around, N64 is not there. Nintendo's basically showing, in retrospect, they're showing stuff like Chrono Trigger, Donkey Kong Country 2, like games that went on to be very good. Yoshi's Island 2.
Was there ever the time where they said we don't need E3 and then they like fail one year? entirely?
I don't know.
No? I thought I remembered that.
Well, I've only been going to E3 since 99, but that hasn't.
But yeah, it was like the new console was supposed to be out, and then it wasn't, and then it didn't come out for another year. So basically everyone was expecting, what's Nintendo's new thing? They're definitely going to show it, and then it just didn't. And here's Virtual Boy.
And here's Virtual Boy.
Yeah, oh. And Virtual Boy kind of took the stage that year. Number four.
He did it in a little walker in a wheelchair.
It's a headache machine.
Number four is seeing Halo 3's campaign trailer.
I don't even remember, but I'll trust him. Because he has a screenshot comparison of how murky and washed out.
Yeah, well, like originally when they show the first trailer in 2006, it was, you know, obviously CG, super high res, like movie quality thing showing Master Chief standing in Africa. Oh my God, finished the fight. And then the next year was the same kind of trailer with in-game footage. And it was like,
it's because they went from target footage the year before to actual real footage next year.
And the jokes were already coming that it was Halo HD, it was 2.5, and it already didn't look that, like the graphics.
Right.
We just got done playing Gears of War, which still looks like one of the best games on the system, visually. So it was just weird. I don't know. I don't know if it needs to be this high on the list, but enough.
That happened to Microsoft almost across the board the one year. Like, if you watched the last few years, it was, you know, the 1 year of Microsoft, we're going to launch the 360, and here's a whole reel of target footage. None of it's in-game.
Right.
Because 360 isn't really that far along yet. And it looks great. The next year, they showed all real gameplay.
Yeah.
Didn't look nearly as good. But Sony came along with target footage for PS3. That was the year everyone was talking about that Killzone trailer.
Yeah,
is that real? Is it not real?
Yeah.
To which people still argue about to this day.
They said they admitted it wasn't real.
Well, it was real, but it was being rendered out like one frame every 15 seconds or something. Like, it was rendered assets, but it...
What's the next one? I got something prepared for this.
Anyway.
Number three was kind of the whole reason E3 sucked last year, was Wii Music and people taking the stage and dancing like fucking idiots.
And I've said this 1,000 times on the podcast, but I've never gone to pull the audio. And
oh, please.
It's like...
You're not going to do that to us, are you?
Oh, this has to be as painful. Everybody must remember this. I want any Nintendo people to be listening to this. Lights go out. Smoke starts going. Like, fucking Lakers music kicks on. What could it be? Oh, my God. Everywhere, like, it's a kick or a punch out, and it comes up, and it's a guy playing drums. And playing the air, and he does it very briefly. And just listening to it, it sounds even stupider than I remember. But every time you hear a break, and I added a certain sound cue, he has his hands in the air waiting for applause. That never come until eventually the crowd took pity.
Well, it's really that concert atmosphere, like black lights, a single spotlight shining down on this guy, and he's looking up and at the sky.
Yeah.
I'll say Nintendo built 95% of the audience in attendance, and it takes a lot for them not to be excited.
Yeah.
And here it comes. Oh! Yes! Oh, wait, no.
God.
Game! Alright, you ready? Okay, but keep going. He's gonna keep going.
You know,
you can talk over it.
I didn't realize at the time, but he's not even doing very well.
No. And it sounds like a MIDI.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Hands up. Nothing. I'll try it again! Now this is the quietest audience ever.
Yeah. That's because none of them have ever heard Flock of Seagulls, and that's what it sounds like he's playing.
And then finally...
Oh my God!
Right there, he's actually having an epileptic seizure brought on by the stress of nobody caring.
Get off the stage! Yes, a smattering of applause.
I'd rather have Sean White tell me more about the balance board.
Yeah,
you know, I felt bad for that guy until they brought out more people and did another demo.
In the roundtable I was in this week, somebody asked with Miyamoto, and somebody asked, "Hey, what are your thoughts on last year's press conference, since it's kind of a year later and we can kind of talk about it now?" And Miyamoto actually said, "I think it suffered because I did not fulfill my obligation on the flute." It just kind of joked.
Not.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Well, he's kind of, he was, Yeah, he was joking, saying like, oh, you know, if only I could play the flute better.
Yeah, I did.
No, well, the funny thing is, you said he did not fulfill his obligation. Notice he didn't say play.
Yeah.
Because playing the flute is nothing like... That's fine.
Woo! Number two!
Are we still on top seven?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Number two is... it's called That Sony Press Conference. The 2006 one, which was the first Games Radar one all went to.
Collectively.
And... so many great one-liners that have just haunted Casa Horizons.
Have become meme-ish.
Yes.
Flip over this crab on its back. See if he gets up. And you attack its weak point for massive damage.
God, okay. What?
The point that makes that even better is, I don't know if everyone remembers, this came almost immediately after a big discussion of the realism of the PS3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what game were they talking about? Was it Genji?
Genji, I believe. No, it was probably Genji.
I think it had to be.
It was Genji. And
memorable game, either way.
We know the crab, we just don't know what game it is.
And who could forget? I've never actually listened to this raw audio, I realized, and there's like laughter after this.
Powered by Namco, it's Ridge Racer! Ridge Racer! Remember that one?
We all do, and it became very meme-ish, and Brett sent me along his favorite, which I'm going to say I love, which is Casa Rai talking to Lex Luthor.
Come on, let me hear you say it just once.
It's Ridge Racer! Ridge Racer!
No! No, it would be other thing.
The PlayStation 3 will retail for $599 US.
From Superman Returns.
From Superman Returns.
God, I love that. Just that was the beginning of like this weird period where like Sony, everything you're saying is weird and wrong.
Not this year. They had plants. Fanboys are very excitable employees because everything they did got laughs and everything they did got applause.
Yeah. Well, they also have the...
It was a stronger show for them this year.
Was that the same year they did the home thing with the cookout where Jack Tretton's character kept showing up in home?
I have no idea.
Either that year or the year before.
Really forced dialogue. It's all blurred together for me.
Either way, I'm thankful I wasn't there to see it. We should move into the number one. I'm going to play some future awful clips for next year's E3 Top 7.
Oh, yes.
here's once again, going back to 08. What was this?
We're on number one now?
Yeah, number one.
Yeah, number one is just E3 2008 a whole, which all the ones I've been to was easily the worst.
And I was, again, I was at E3, so in case you haven't realized, that means I had no access to the internet. Did not see this thing Charlie made of... a compilation of every time somebody on the Nintendo stage says smiles or manufacturing smiles.
Oh, yeah.
It's horrible.
We're pretty big wheels at the Smile Factory. Here we go.
I don't like a smile taken off my face. I can't stop smiling. Put a smile on my face. And I'm smiling again.
My smiling faces.
More smiles to more faces.
A lot of smiles. New smiles to keep you smiling.
it's like they're Smurfs and they're just using one word for every part of speech and
I'm gonna smile out of good.
I think we have some new contenders for
Powered by Namco. It's Ridge Racer.
Yeah.
What do you think is gonna be the next Ridge Racer?
Ridge Racer. Remember that one?
It's either Microsoft Avatar press conference.
It instantly mimics me on screen. You ever wonder what the bottom of an Avatar shoe looks like? Well, bam!
Yeah.
There are already songs
about it.
Not the internet. I'll try.
There are already remixes on YouTube.
Yeah. Charlie has a link to one, actually. You should, if we have any breaks this podcast, you could play it.
We're going to have some breaks.
The important thing to know is that when, at the time he was doing that shoe, the arms of the character were like wrapped around his head in the most...
Actually,
every
Friday we have that video game music makes blank better.
Yeah.
And this week's is E309, and it's the game. It's the game over Sonic music put at the end of each one of these big goofs, and it's that one. Ever wanted to see the bottom of a shoe? Bam! And then it shows the actual footage of the avatar like twisting into a pretzel, and then it's just.
I'm confident they'll figure that out, but that's just not how you want it to look when you're debuting it.
No, what I played worked.
I didn't grab it, but I had Tony Hawk saying this new skateboard contains, what do you say, like a million pieces of technology It contains so much technology.
$1 million.
So does like a out of business CompUSA.
Hey, you ever seen an iPhone?
Yeah, exactly.
I love that. So you needed 1 million pieces of technology to simulate a board with wheels. This thing is 1 billion years old, and it takes that much technology.
Well, it takes 1 million more pieces to make sure the board with wheels doesn't actually go anywhere.
But I saw this; it didn't jump out at me until I saw it played other places. But Paul McCartney is fucking senile. And
oh, when he
mispronounced, he called Lauryn Hill Lawrence Hill like several years ago at the MTV Music Awards, and what?
Well, this year at the press conference, Microsoft trotted out Ringo Starr and Paul McCartney to talk about how much they love the Beatles, rock band, and they sounded like they had no idea what they were doing there.
I think they signed a check, and they read a memo before he got on stage, and this is what Paul McCartney had to say about one of the most anticipated games of the year.
We love the game, it's fantastic. Who would ever thought we'd end up as androids? But,
Which I thought was funny, but...
Paul, mix in a couple episodes
Androids?
Of Star Trek. You don't know what that word means, do you, Paul?
It was just funny because they look... Probably looks very robotic on the screen.
I guess.
I was talking... I meant, like, their entire exchange, because then it goes to Ringo, and he's like,
But, I like the way I walk.
Sure. Sure, there was a lot put into that.
I noticed that they didn't have Yoko and them share the stage at any point.
Yeah, they threw her out like an appearance on the Benny Hill show. Like she just ran across the stage.
Now, as we know, my Beatles knowledge is zero.
Yeah.
So why is she so hated, but then everyone still applauded when she came out?
Because I think people were just tired of everything on stage. I don't know.
But like, what did she do that everyone's boo?
Well, she's basically blamed for breaking up the Beatles.
Essentially. Like John Lennon just kept writing songs about her and letting her.
Plus, have you ever heard any of her?
Oh, dude.
Music.
All I know is the Simpsons number 8.
Yes.
Belt.
Stuff like that.
Number 8.
It's like someone. It's like someone tied a bunch of cats to a piano and then ran them all through a meat grinder.
And one of the things that makes me really mad. She has controlling stake in the Beatles. Nothing to do with the music ever.
God, that's stupid.
And other than the bad stuff. And we'll move right along. I think we're gonna play a Valve interview, which was really cool. Left 4 Dead 2, I don't care what you guys say.
Left 4 Dead 2 is gonna be great.
Left 4 Dead 2 was pretty badass. And I also have something from Barely Legal, a site that they have. Because there were protesters out front of E3 protesting Dante's Inferno for being against God and being about Satanism. The hoax, it was a publicity stunt, and this is a funny thing about video game protests. So we'll be back in a second.
In ancient Japan, massive crowd, massive damage, massive crowd. Being made on history, massive crowd, massive damage, massive crowd. Based on Japanese history, attack is a weak point, massive damage. Attack is a weak point, massive damage. Flip over this crowd on its back. Attack is a weak point, massive damage.
Everybody, it's Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man, and you're listening to Talk Radar on GamesRadar.com.
Dig it! Hey, it's me, Obama Girl, and I'm out here at the E3 Expo in LA. This place is buzzing with excitement over some of the new games that'll be premiering here, like Heavy Rain, Assassin's Creed 2, and The Sims 3. There's also a rumor about a new Mario Brothers game that's causing tons of excitement and a few protesters. Check it out.
What are you guys protesting?
We're here on behalf of the Italian Anti-Defamation League to protest Mario Brothers and its negative portrayal of the Italian people's talent, Paulie.
Yeah, those games perpetrate many Italian stereotypes that are most offensive to our sensibilities.
Mario's offensive?
They're all offensive. Mario, Bowser, that asshole frog, Luigi, the whole Mario crew is extremely distasteful. I don't know if you know this or not, but Italians do not jump on mushrooms and get powerful and glowy. We also do not throw fireballs.
Yeah, and if I'm diving down a road and see a big box with a big question mark on it, I don't just run over it. I go around like a responsible citizen.
Yeah, and he don't drive no go-kart either. He drives his mother's Ford Windstar.
Yeah. And Italians do not hop on turtle shells. I fucking love turtles. Yeah, that's what the hell was that?
Linda! Jesus Christ, shut up!
Oh, my God.
This is real bad.
Just finished my first campaign on Expert Sunday.
Nice.
Stayed up for like 4 hours.
Oh, with that, we are
Shit.
We are
I can't hear anybody.
that normal?
About now. Is that helping?
No, I can't hear anybody. Can't hear myself.
How about now? Oh, you can't, you shouldn't be able to hear yourself.
Okay, now I can hear you.
Yeah, we're at Valve at E3 09, and we're talking to
Chet Falsak, writer on Left 4 Dead 2.
Writer on Left 4 Dead 2. I did want to ask, completely new setting.
Yes.
And Left 4 Dead for me is one of the most pure games, the purest gaming experience. Exactly what it needs to be. There's no filler. Is there an explanation to why they're in New Orleans?
So actually, we start in Savannah.
No,
really. And we go through the Deep South to New Orleans.
Really, that's where I'm from.
Okay. Nice.
So I haven't actually seen the game yet. Every one of these guys has played it already.
So yeah, so we're today just showing New Orleans, but that's where it starts in Savannah and
really?
Heads across the Deep South, underrepresented area.
Love the Savannah. My grandmother still lives there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Fascinating. listeners up there.
Sadly, she's now a zombie.
And one of the things,
zombie grandma.
Zombie grandma.
Oh, but with that about the pure gameplay and everything is, you know, I think one of the things when people start to make a sequel or think about a sequel, the first thing to do is add complication.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, let's make it an RPG now. We can't just do this thing. We wanted to make sure that that gameplay remained. Your buddies can come over who's never played it before, sit down and start playing.
Yeah, it's always been like that.
A really fast turnaround by any standard, and especially for like a one-year turnaround?
Speak up.
Oh, it's his headset? All right. One of the things...
Don't blame the equipment, man.
Don't blame the equipment. It kind of is. But, yeah, one of the things we saw, a couple of new additions, we saw, like, the new special affected, the Charger,
sure.
And how, like, as huge fan of the first one, a lot of our listeners are, too, talk about it in the forums a lot.
Mm-hmm.
How this one, that one new special affected kind of changes a lot of the expert tactics of, like, when the Horde comes, two people crouch, two people stand behind.
Sure.
And he talked about how that's just, I don't think that's going to be a viable strategy anymore.
So they definitely have to develop some different strategies.
Yeah.
And there's strategies. So the cool thing actually with the Charger is you can play Bullfighter with him.
Oh, yeah.
He has a really straight path. He can vary a little bit, but once he starts his charge,
right.
It's a pretty straight path. So if you just jump out of the way, he's going to go flying by you.
Okay.
For people who don't know, the Charger is the new...
Charger's a new special. He's playable in versus mode. Uh-huh. And we have a couple more new specials coming. And so actually... In versus mode, one of the great things to do as a survivor is the final campaign, the final map, is on a bridge. It has no ledges to it. So now if the Charger hits you, you go sailing off, you're dead.
Right.
But it's absolutely great to taunt him that you pretend you don't know he's there.
Uh-huh.
And then as he charges, you walk back behind a car and see him go sailing off without you.
So that's a viable way to just deal with him is let him charge into oblivion.
Exactly.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, really cool.
That's the only new special effect that I saw at the judges.
That's all what we're showing.
That's all you're showing right
now?
Yeah,
we have two more coming, but we're just not showing them here.
How about the they were called uncommon commons?
Correct. Yeah,
talk about those.
So each campaign, so we have five campaigns. We're actually showing the fifth campaign here.
Mm-hmm.
But each campaign has at least one what we call uncommon commons. In New Orleans, it's some of the Cedar guys dressed up in their hazmat suits.
Right.
And they're pretty noticeable because they're in hazmat suits.
Right.
And they didn't really work for them in the zombie infection, but what it does work for is actually fireproof.
Right.
So, and there's a section in the campaign where there's a bunch of them. So if you throw down your Molotovs, or if you have the incendiary ammo, one of the new perks, it just doesn't work against them.
So does the two and one with
regular
all...
bullets do, though?
What are the new weapons? Are there any new weapons?
Tons of new weapons.
Okay.
I got to play around with the axe. And that was
I heard about the axe.
So we have melee weapons. And here we're showing just the axe, the baseball bat, frying pan, my favorite.
How many?
Does it have a satisfying dong?
Oh yeah.
Oh,
it's my ringtone. But there's a whole bunch of other ones as well. These are just what we're showing as we hear it off in the distance.
Yeah, one of the things.
And then also we have chainsaw coming. But we're not showing that here.
Right. I noticed with the axe, like where you hit them will cut that piece off kind of.
Yeah, and so that also works with the secondary weapon, the second level weapons, is you can shoot off arms, you can shoot off forearms, you can shoot off legs, you can shoot off heads and sections of the body. And the axe also has the cool thing of is if, let's say, one of your friends gets pounced by a hunter, it'll go do like a death move when you go slice him up it'll kill him. And you can also kill the witch. So each of the melee weapons, yep,
arg.
They have little special things that they're really good at. And that one is
you
creep up behind the witch. Of course, though, it's daylight in New Orleans.
Yeah,
yeah.
And so the witch doesn't sit still. She actually wanders
around.
Whoa! Yeah.
God, the witch freaks
me out. Yeah, we were doing that demo and we heard it and we're all just like, and then the guy's like, oh yeah, by the way, the witch walks around now. Yeah. Oh.
Okay, obviously someone on the project is a fan of The Wire.
Yes.
We got
probably
Dennis Cuddy.
Everybody.
Yes. I'm trying to turn around my life. Taught in boxing, teaching kids. Love Dennis from The Wire.
Yes.
The other voice talent, do we?
Yeah, so we have Yu Dillon, who's on Flashpoint. It's a CBS show, Friday nights. We have Eric Layden, who's actually in Generation Kill, and is now on Mad Men.
Oh, okay.
And we have, I always forget how to pronounce her last name, Rochelle Ayers. Yeah, A-Y-E-R-S. Who's been in a bunch of movies, including, like, White Chicks and some others.
Any, but what of Bill Lewis? Zoe,
Frankie? They have their own story.
Really?
That's, you know, so the idea is that the world's gigantic.
Yeah.
That it's about the zombie apocalypse. It's about the infection. It's about the zombies. So they've kind of got their own story still up there in the Northeast, and we want to come down to the Deep South, and there's no reason why they would be here yet.
Yeah.
Right.
So you could conceivably keep making games as long as you can think of settings. And the, the minute we know you're out of steam, there's Left 4 Dead on the Moon. And
underwater.
But I did say Steam, so Valve's gotta give me some credit for that.
I think, that, I think that's worth a quarter. You can
So we have November 17th, and what system, what platforms?
PC and 360.
Maybe I'm dumb, I don't know, what do you guys, PS3, do they have any Left 4 Dead in their future?
No.
No.
No, so, I mean, there's a couple things. One, 360 Xbox Live makes it really easy to hook up with your friends, right?
I agree.
Like, Left 4 Dead couldn't have existed 10 years ago because the technology to hook up with your friends and play a co-op game didn't exist, right?
Yeah.
It just wouldn't have worked. And, you know, it's a platform we develop well for and easily. And so when we're talking about being able to update and keep game current, and we've done a lot of updates already and new DLC for Left 4 Dead 1. And it's just easier to have a pipeline that's smoother for us. If we start adding all this complication, it's going to slow things up.
Does that have anything to do with, like, the Orange Box for PS3? Was that kind of a test ground and it didn't kind of pan out?
It was just a kind of different deal, different way of looking at it.
Right.
One of the cool things actually is, Microsoft guys were over 2 weeks ago to come check it out before the show, and, they're marketing guys. They're suits.
Right.
Right. And you would normally, we put games on easy for those guys, right? We want to help them. Ends up these guys play every Friday night.
Nice.
They're like super experts. It's like, we put it on normal. Like, hey, I'll put it on advanced for you guys. Come on. So it's like they're totally backing us and helping us out and supporting it.
It's definitely the kind of game, like, I got really into it when it came out and played it. We all played in the office a lot in November.
Yeah.
And then all my friends back home slowly found out about it.
Yeah.
And then somewhere around March, it, like, blew up again.
Now I'm sucked back in.
And now I'm playing it again, like, every week. And the idea that there's another one coming is almost like...
This game got my idiot friend to upgrade from his Wii and get a 360 to play Left 4 Dead.
Nice.
I just wondered, like, was there ever anyone in the office who was like, and when this project got started, that was like, people are still playing and buying the first one. Should we ride that out a little longer?
Well, we're still playing the first one, right? We play all the time.
Yeah.
And we're fans of the game ourselves, right? And that's part of why we're doing Left 4 Dead 2, actually, is that... Valve, we're allowed to do what we want to do, kind of internally. And everyone working on Left 4 Dead was really excited and had all these ideas. And, like, we can't release a discrete single map like TF can.
Right.
We want to tell the story. We want to tell about the infection. And then we started looking at new characters. And it was this huge thing. And we actually went to, you know, Gabe and Doug Lombardi and were like, hey, you know, this is kind of what we want to do. And it's like, hey, that's Left 4 Dead 2. You know, let's go with it. It's a little different for Valve, but.
Yeah, it's. Quickest sequel ever, I believe.
So, but you know, I mean, really, we play the game all the time. We play with the community all the time.
Yeah. We do too. We play with our.
Yeah. It's like everyone who's ever played it with us is influencing us on these decisions and how we're changing the game and, you know, making it better for Left 4 Dead too.
What is your take on, it's been called the Jesus box in Dead Air on the roof. There's this magic box you can hide in.
It got patched, didn't it?
Yeah.
Because we just did it on Sunday.
And I did want to say that
on a 360 or PC.
360.
Not to extend.
I would have to check on that.
Okay.
I know.
We keep
updating on that, right? I mean, so one of the that's just a classic thing of, and so Left 4 Dead, like finding something like that or finding a place where you can hold up and sit down is like the perfect thing to do.
Just going to compare it to how people discovered combos in Street Fighter. Like those weren't programmed in.
Yeah.
That was people finding ways to play the game differently. And I love people finding spots. They're always finding new spots.
But equally, like, that's kind of like, well, you know, let's change up how things work.
Yeah.
So, like, the finale in the campaign we're looking at now, the Parish, is actually a bridge. We have to keep moving.
Yeah.
And especially, like, you're playing versus, you're playing against people who haven't started playing that often yet, because at Valve, we'll hold people off and say, you know, you can't play this. Come later and play it. And then we'll play with a mixed group, some newer players, some older players. And they'll still hold up like in the back of these panel trucks.
Right.
And it's like, oh, suckers. That's going to be a death trap. You're all going to die there.
The one I played it, like the horde mode, well, when you hit a button and that summons the horde, and it's the kind of final showdown before the safe room. In this case, it was like an alarm that went off.
Correct.
And again, you had to keep moving. There was nowhere to stop.
Yeah.
And that was really cool. And on top of that, it was daytime. So.
All right. I'm going to jump in here. I thought I was going to be able to play the game today. I'm going to go get it on.
All right.
All right.
No, thanks
just
a lot.
Saying. Yeah, thanks. November 17th?
November 17th, PC and 360.
PC and 360. Thanks a lot, Chad.
Thank you.
You ever wonder what the bottom of an Avatar shoe looks like? Well, bam! There it is! Bam! There it is! Bam! There it is! Bam! There it is! Well, bam!
What did you just get?
I just got in the mail I Heart Beauty Hollywood Makeover from City Interactive. And if you listen closely, you'll hear me throwing it away.
Does that imply there's been another I Love Beauty game?
There's probably 12.
Okay.
No, that's the first one.
Let's get into new releases. You don't care about that. You want to know about E3 crap.
I'm pretty sure the sequel is going to be called I Hate You.
With the letter 8, maybe?
Or I Love Black Beauty.
The letter 8.
Oh, dear.
What?
I Love Black Beauty.
Horsey.
He's a horse.
Yeah, new releases this week. There's Sims 3. I haven't seen, played it. Yeah, of course, I don't have any interest, but I wouldn't blame you for having some. And what else? There's Fuel, which is getting okay reviews despite winning, like, some Guinness Book of World Records for the most space.
It's got, like, this 50,000 square miles of terrain or something that you can pretty much just go anywhere. Like I said, they made a big open map where you can drive around.
Right.
The problem is, most of it's empty.
Most of it.
So there's some people are saying, you know, actually, I don't need this much empty space.
I heard it was to just instantly zap to where I need to go. I heard it was.
I think you can.
Kind of like a modern Smuggler's Run to a certain extent.
Maybe.
Well, open worldy kind of deserty, bumpy environments.
God, I love
Smugglers. It's a lot of normal races once you get to where the race actually happens.
Yes.
Okay, we got to keep this short, boys. Come on,
Red Faction Gorilla.
Red Faction Gorilla.
Sorry, Red Faction Gorilla.
What do you have about that?
You know, I actually have been we've been watching that one for quite a while, and the readership doesn't seem to care a whole lot about it, but it's looked good. It's fun when we played it, and then the final version came out, and it's reviewing really well.
Is it?
Like it's an open world game. Like it's basically GTA on Mars, right? But one thing, you've got this hammer.
No idea it was Mars when I saw it.
You can destroy anything. Like you have the world's strongest sledgehammer, so if you see a building you can hit enough times, it's going to fall down, and you can flatten it.
But it's like always in like the same shape of falling debris.
Not really, though.
I could be wrong. I saw it a long time ago.
Well, it's an open world game, and they've actually thought a lot about what's wrong with other open world games. Like, you never get stranded somewhere with no vehicle. If you are, some guy just randomly drives up, gets out of his truck, and walks away, and you can take his truck.
So I always consider Red Faction to be like the king of the false promises.
destroy everything. Yeah,
and then it's like a little.
It was in my memory though. The first one was the first game to let you shoot through walls, so it did that.
Yeah, well,
but no, it's good. It's way better than anyone's paying attention to. So if you want to seem smart in like 5 years, and people say, "Gosh, you got in on the ground floor," buy Red Faction. It's got some fun multiplayer stuff too, where you're like building things and knocking things down, like control points.
It's averaging an 86 right now.
That's not bad at all.
Based on 32 reviews. The lowest of which is Eurogamer, which gives it a 7 and says Red Faction is the very definition of a solid 7 out of 10.
Oh.
Okay.
The Eurogamer grades hard.
Yes.
They grade hard.
But
it also has a gun, I think it's called a nanite gun, that will literally, your enemies just dissolve when it hits them.
What else?
Pretty awesome.
Wanted to get into some other news.
E3 news. I heard about this on the show floor, and Eric, this should depress you as well. Activision suing Double Fine.
Oh, for God's sake.
Double Fine. That's like,
I'm almost beside myself with that one.
Well, they've made a lot of wife analogies, but that's like suing your wife that you divorced for finding somebody else and finding a new husband.
Well, you know, it's stupid. The concept is, okay, originally Brutal Legend was going to be published by Vivendi.
Yes.
Vivendi then merged with Activision.
Yeah.
And they had a big meeting, and they threw out everything that they can't do an annual sequel for.
Yeah.
Activision is ballsy enough to have come out and said this.
I believe you said anything we can't exploit on an annual basis.
Exactly.
You used the word
exploit on an annual basis. means crank out another sequel. And, I mean, we've seen that with Guitar Hero and Tony Hawk and Call of Duty. Like, they knock them out.
They ditch Ghostbusters.
Yeah, yeah, they dump Ghostbusters. They dump Brutal Legend.
They dump Brutal Legend.
EA picks up Brutal Legend, says, actually, we're smarter than that. We would like to publish this game, even if there's only one, because it's awesome!
Yeah.
And now Activision wants to get back in the picture. It's exactly like breaking up with your girlfriend and then getting mad when somebody else goes out with her.
What it is actually exactly like if anybody was reading movie news about...
I know what you're about to say.
...franchise when Fox sued... Was it Warner Brothers? Warner Brothers over Watchmen.
Yeah.
And it wasn't because... Activision doesn't have anything that's going to compete with Brutal Legend.
No.
But they can still squeeze as much money out of this as possible in order not to delaying the release will cost more money than giving Activision a little money.
Activision claims they invested $15 million in the game that they didn't get back.
What were
That's probably true because they were the original publishers. But the basic way the publishing model works is if you want to get your money back,
you publish the game. Yes.
When you drop the game... Basically, they fired Double Fine,
and they
fired it, and now they said, "Oh wait, you owe us money."
It's
ridiculous.
It's a huge prick move, and I didn't even hear about this, but we were at Activision, and they wouldn't let us play DJ Hero. Whatever, I guess we're not important enough. But I hadn't read that Activision, Activision's coming out with DJ Hero.
Right.
Who is it? Like Section 7 or something? I forget their names. Studio 7 coming out with Scratch the Ultimate DJ.
Right, right.
Activision bought the developer of their competition.
Wow.
And the publisher is suing them now because they say Activision is trying to block the code because they now own the developers who have every asset.
And Activision is also the company that was all angry. Remember when Guitar Hero and Rock Band guitars weren't compatible?
Yeah.
And Activision was blocking the patch to Rock Band that would make the Guitar Hero guitars
calm
work.
Down?
And they're, you know, it's ridiculous. I've never seen a company that has such a brutal mindset.
They were very nice and accommodating to us. We got to see Call of Duty World of Warfare 2 now is what
Modern
it's
Warfare
Modern
2.
Warfare 2.
World of Warfare.
Modern Warfare 2.
But World of War 2 will probably be next year.
You know, there were no gaming journalists allowed or going into the Guitar Hero 5 tent, but all the people in suits walking out were coming out with a big smile.
I played Guitar Hero 5, actually.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
After I left?
Yes.
It's cool. It's the same thing with a slight tweak, but it's
cool. The coolest thing about it, I don't know how much I can say and can't say because of the random rules Activision has in that room, but...
The drop-in and drop-out is known.
Okay. Well, yeah, I got to watch that happen. And that was really cool. Like right from the title screen, you just push yellow button. You pick a song right off the title screen.
Really?
You're playing a song right away.
Yeah.
You can start the song with one singer, guitarist, bass, drummer. Say the singer's like, I can't sing the song. It sucks. He pauses the game. It only pauses the singing track. He switches right then. I want to play guitar. He switches to guitar. Boom. He's playing the guitar. And then it just, in real time, all the tracks shrink and grow and expand. You can come, and you can have four drummers going at
That's
once.
Awesome.
Yeah.
If halfway through the song you're like, I don't want to be drums anymore, or the drummer's like, I got to go, my ride's here, you don't have to go back all the way out and change anything. Yeah. You can change every difficulty.
Looks like he's failing, he can kind of get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. And it worked. It works really fun. And
I did see their set list. Fucking awesome. And I'm not saying I'm usually a Rock Band guy, but hey, they got the Beatles this year. I know what I'm getting. I would like another band.
Exactly. Like, for me, we know Beatles is not my thing, and playing the game, I'm like, I can appreciate what you guys have done here, because I can see the love that's put into this, and it will do well, but I don't...
I thought it was great. The presentation was great.
It was.
The songs are just amazing to play and diverse, and the split vocal tracks now means more casual people can get... They seem to get mad, or like the lead looked at me like... Can't believe you just said more women will play Rock Band now, but it's fucking true.
It's
like,
true.
Well, three of them can grab the. They're always lining up for the mic when I'm playing. Yeah. They never want to play the plastic instrument.
Yeah, just to clarify for people what we're talking about now, we've switched over to Rock Band, and the fact that Rock Band Beatles lets you play multiple vocal tracks.
Yeah, there's
background
vocals. You can do harmony.
The Beatles were very well known for having three and four part harmonies, so.
Okay, okay.
It makes sense. But the bad news is now. I have actually an excuse for my wife that I need four drum sets. Guitar Hero 5, four drum sets. I got to have them all four here stacked in the living room.
I swear to God,
sometimes it looks like I live in a toy junkyard.
I mentioned it on Facebook, but I think I was walking out of the Modern Warfare 2 appointment, and I ran into Ryan Seacrest. A woman had just got done taking a picture. Brett says no.
Did you literally run into him?
Yeah, like, well, shoulders touch.
Did you throw him an elbow in the ribs?
Like, I don't know who he is.
Seacrest, out!
I don't really know anything about him.
He's a tool.
I say it can't be because he's notoriously short, and this guy was, like, my height.
He wasn't that tall.
He's really short.
He had on a top hat and heels. He was deceiving. I don't know. But like,
the Monopoly guy.
Because I'm like, I walk out of there and someone's taking a picture with somebody. He's like, oh, thank you very much. I'm like, who's the celebrity game journalist? And I just looked at the badge, and it was the first badge I'd seen. Didn't have green, exhibits only, red exhibitor, black media. It was blue and just said guest. So I'm assuming he just, you know.
It probably was some celebrity.
It definitely was.
Who just wanted to see Modern Warfare 2. But
Modern Warfare 2.
Looks good.
Looking badass.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, did you expect anything less?
I swear to God, I don't want to care about politics. I don't want to care about a game about war that comes out once a year.
Yeah.
I'd like to think of a more interesting person.
From a publisher we just got done bagging on.
Yeah. I'd like to think I have a more interesting taste. The trailer blew my ass on my face.
They're so great. I mean, snowmobiles.
Get in there. The snow. We were.
Last time I cared about snowmobiles, Die Hard 2.
You were making fun of us because we were talking about the snow, and it's just like
the wind. Yeah,
it's not this snowy.
It's amazing wind.
It's this snow that's blowing a specific way, and if you move around, you can see. Like Brett had mentioned, the grass from Call of Duty 4.
Yeah,
it
just
looks like grass.
Yeah.
This looks like snow, and it's
the thing was like in the first Call of Duty. The first Modern Warfare, Call of Duty 4. All this stuff is happening, but when you crouch in anything, the world looked dead. Nothing was animated or moved at all. But then Modern Warfare 2, just when like you're climbing up the side of that wall with those ice hooks, you can see the wind like flapping his sleeves, and the snow drifts are coming up.
His guns have like a skin camo, like a snow camo.
Yeah.
They're all new models and textures, whatever. Wow. I mean, that's impressive. Good for them.
Yeah.
I won't notice. But I thought that was a cool touch.
Yeah, it just felt a little bit more lively.
Cool touch is when...
I didn't know guns had a snow camo.
The thing we saw, it opens up, you're following Soap McTavish.
Yep.
McTavish.
From Modern Warfare 1.
COD4. Is that what we have to call it now? God!
I don't know.
So confusing. he's like, follow me, and it's right after you ice hook all the way up, and he runs across this chasm. Digs his hooks in, and then so your character does that. Digs your hooks in with both triggers, and you just start slipping and falling down. And the breath that the guy takes is like some of the most expressive and distinct.
Yeah, like
gasping for your fucking life.
Yeah,
I was very impressed by that. And then there's the snowmobile section. Yeah. Dude, you were tearing across a frozen lake as a helicopter threw missiles.
Right. Yeah,
it's just
holding your sidearm.
Yeah,
your firearm sideways,
and of course moving at 60 frames a second.
Yeah, and it's all super smooth. It's like it's not going to drastically like they're not introducing a new gameplay element. That's like this is going to change the way you play Modern Warfare. It's just here's like 18 new crazy scenarios you're going to get to play that are going to kick ass.
What was weird about this one though is it almost didn't look like a military game. Just in the demo, it looked like a James Bond game.
Yeah,
a little bit because it's.
Like a good James Bond game. Like
this is a stupid spoiler, but one of your missions, because it always is in Call of Duty, is like plant the explosive, then you go off and do this, and then you walk through this door, and there's like a million, there's like 20 soldiers, and you're like, Soap goes, shit, plan B, and he says, detonate, and you detonate something that you put minutes ago, like way back there, I'd forgotten about, and it blows up, and all the soldiers turn around, and you just start firing. These people right in front of your face.
That's cool.
Yeah. Fucking awesome.
It's just really cool.
That's what's exciting about those games is they come up with
weird scenarios
that other people.
It's something echoed in the Uncharted 2 gameplay that we saw placed at Sony's conference where the whole building falls over, and it's this idea that now games are built like successful games have one thing in common now with these action games is that they all have a scene you survive that should have killed everyone involved.
Right.
Like it's like remember the part in because Modern Warfare 1 like what all gillied up everyone remembers this entire scenario like that or I'm trying to think of something else to prove this point but
I do want to get into because we have our what is it Games Radar Game Award
E3 awards
E3 awards and I love writing these usually this time I did I actually made a screenshot that I made and then looked at and granted I haven't slept much had a lot of coffee and eaten poorly I literally had to hold back shitting in my pants
It's a funny screen.
It's really good. You guys know me. I'm rarely complimentary of my own shit.
You're talking about the Mass Effect one.
No, I'm talking about the motion controls.
Oh, I didn't see that one. We came in here. I hadn't seen it yet. We came in here before it was live.
Wait till you see it. Why motion controls should be a little more relevant than they were this year. But it won our award for, what was it called? Latest to an already lame party.
Yeah.
Winner is a tie between Microsoft and Sony for their motion controls, which we've talked about in depth during our E3 1 and 2 podcast. On iTunes, on the page, we'll link to them. Which was some of the awards you had?
I think the first thing we did was we gave Best of Show to Mass Effect 2.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Which I don't remember if we talked about in the E3.
We did?
Okay. Oh, yeah. I don't want to reiterate it again.
Everybody's been kind of spoiling it. Eric, have you read the deal with Mass Effect 2?
Yeah.
Is it okay to say without, like, scaring? I really don't want to spoil this
for
people.
I don't think it's a spoiler. I mean, we're talking about the connection with the other Mass Effect games, right?
Not really. No, because you can port your save data over from Mass Effect 1.
Right.
And
your character
basically bring
transfers.
That completely unique character unto you into that game.
And also if
Mass Effect 2.
And also if you killed anybody in Mass Effect 1, any story-relevant characters, they are still dead.
They're still dead. And also,
which really troubles me.
They said it was a little darker, and I wanted to find a place to write this down, but I couldn't. An example of what they showed us, you saw that trailer, and you see this guy fall to his death.
Mm-hmm.
That was Shepard kind of pushing him, like not being kind of unreasonable and aggressive.
Yeah.
He was the one who just killed this guy almost for no reason.
Yeah.
So that, I thought that was kind of cool.
Well, as an E3 judge, I actually saw slightly different stuff than what they were showing you guys, and I remember more enemy designs and stuff, and even the enemy designs looked darker and more sinister.
Yeah,
did you guys see, maybe you did see, like the robot dogs with the two vertical eyes?
No.
They're wicked cool.
No, but I did not see
just,
that.
It looks very much like some of the old other Geth designs, but it's a dog, and, you know.
What are some other awards we have?
The one that I think you and I can both agree on is, I can't remember what I actually finally called this award, but it was a negative award.
No.
Was not happy with New Super Mario Bros. Wii.
Yeah.
I think we may have already
talked. We talked about it already.
Well, but you and I finally played it yesterday, but we haven't podcast since then. We both played it together, and it's just like, you found a way to make a Mario game annoying.
What I wrote
and
about,
by that I mean a proper Mario game.
We do our cutesy, semi-fake E3 games reviewed now.
Yeah.
And I said, basically, they reduced one of the greatest throwbacks to traditional platforming ever, with even tighter controls than ever before,
right,
into slapstick family bullshit.
Yeah, it just feels like for four people that don't care what happens.
Like, I think I can see how you and I, and we're really liking this game, we could work at a strategy, because you can jump off the other player's head, because they occupy a physical space. But playing with a bunch of Joe Schmo dipshits on the show floor, like, they stop, then I run into them and I fall over. I'm timing a jump, they jump in front of me, I fall in a pit.
But they wanted it to be like, oh, but that's fun because you're competing to win. But it's like, it's not because you're actually. It's not like we're competing for point. I mean,
well, you're basically trying.
And you also told a story about two guys who were having a stalemate. They were at an impasse because one was trying to jump out of a pipe and the other one kept knocking him back into the pipe.
Yeah, well, yeah. One guy.
That's colossally not fun.
One guy was Yoshi eating a guy and spitting him into a pit, and he kept wall jumping out of the pit back into Yoshi's mouth over and over and over and over. And finally, it's just like the Yoshi guy's like, well, I guess I'll stop.
That's the thing about Yoshi being there. He's also part of the problem because you're basically you're occupying a very small space, this one line at the bottom of the screen. So if someone uses Yoshi and you're anywhere near him, he will eat you.
Yeah.
And you're stuck in his mouth until that player decides to let you go. And a lot of times on the floor, people didn't realize they'd eaten somebody.
Yeah. Well, the good thing is that the game does not have online play, so this will not be a problem for you most of the time.
Okay, yeah. Maybe the single player rock, then my minor side, why 10 levels?
Yeah, well, it's weird. There's got to be more to it. But when they were showing there were only 10 levels, I'm guessing that means it's like level 1, 1, 1, 2, 1, 3, 2, 1,
so,
2, 2, 2, 3.
So
my
worlds
guess.
Is what.
Yeah. There's 86 scenarios, they said. So there's.
Let's move on. Let's move on to another award. And I do want to tease this because I didn't actually get to finish reading, but like two of our editors across the ocean got in a fight over a Mario game. And it's awesome. Go check it out. I can't wait to watch them spar some more. Some people think Mario Galaxy. One thinks it's good.
Yeah. And it wasn't just across the ocean. Like that split the office here.
Yeah,
it's just one guy in the UK wrote the first article. The guy here wrote
basically,
the second
I agree with the angry guy who thinks this is wrong,
but I'm going to play it regardless. Love that.
Oh yeah, I'll play it, but I am kind of like,
I agree with
you. So you guys just had a hole and you needed to fill it, and like, well, we have all the assets for Galaxy, we should just make another one.
This disconcerting phrase is 95% new content.
Well, yeah, and that was a quote.
Is this a two or not?
That was a quote.
All right. Mario Galaxy 2, can't wait. Yeah. Eric, what was an award you worked on?
I'd like to just point out, I'm a big fan of like the games nobody talks about. Mm-hmm. Like Muramasa, nobody was talking about that game.
No, we were very interested.
Well, we are, because okay. We're smart. But I mean, the universe as a whole is ignoring it. It's gorgeous.
It's really fun.
It's gorgeous.
But I don't know, is that where?
No,
it's from Vanillaware. There's people who did Odin Sphere.
Yeah, it looks just like that. I don't even know what the art style is. I asked Brett, and he's like, just call it fucking Vanillaware.
It's like hand-painted, saturated colors.
It's like it only looks like Vanillaware. Grimoire, please play Grimoire.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. That's a good one. But I also want to point out, it's coming from Majesco, so a lot of people are unaware it even exists. But A Boy and His Blob.
Oh, for Wii.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We've put that down as cutest use of a hug button.
It's weird. This is one of those franchises that has only been one game.
Yeah.
Like, 50, things, like 20 years ago.
Boy
and His Blob.
The Game Boy one different?
There was a Game Boy one, but I mean, again, that was within a year of each other, so... I don't remember. I don't think it's a direct. Nobody cares.
The point is, this game is gorgeous. And it looks, someone said, I'm not the first person to make this, it looks like a Studio Ghibli cartoon come to life.
Oh, nice.
And when you see it move, it moves incredibly fluidly. Like, the animation is seamless.
Can't wait.
It's relentlessly endearing. It's adorable.
We said this before, but like, we can't hang with the years as is and the infamous as it is.
Yeah.
Focus on a hand-drawn 2D,
yeah.
2D gaming. And like, that'll keep me interested in your system for a long time.
And they actually told a funny story during the demo that I'll relate to you guys. They were playing it one time for a retail buyer. You know, like Target, Walmart, they employ people to play the games and order them, decide how many they can order. They're playing it for a retail buyer, and it's an office setting. There's all these middle-aged women around, and they all started watching the game because it's cute. You know, it's a little boy and his little blob, and the blob's very expressive. You can tell when it gets upset, you give it a hug and make it feel better. But at one point, the guy playing the game died as the little boy. Like, the little boy died. And the women in the office just came unglued. They got all mad. They started yelling. And, like, they were really invested in the character just in the amount of time they talked about it.
Isn't it WiiWare, though?
I don't think so.
I thought it was WiiWare for some reason.
Maybe
it is.
Was this I'm pretty
the category
sure it's full price.
Of, won an award for what? Being the game?
Best use of a hug button.
Best use of a hug button.
Or
most awe-inspiring.
Yeah, that's not the title we use.
Are there any others you guys want to mention? What's the article called?
The article is called The Best of E3 Awards.
The Best of E3 Awards. Dude.
Games Radar, you know, E3 2009 Awards. That article, you mean? The one that we've been talking about? I don't know. It's going to be on the homepage.
It's going to be on the homepage.
If you found this podcast, you can find that article.
Yeah, well, you never know. A lot of people get it through
iTunes. We also got one making fun of... What was the final verdict on James Cameron? How did we describe...
Let me read that from the printout I have. Best impersonation of your best friend describing a movie he just saw while he's stoned or something like that.
Like a stoned friend who's relaying a movie. Dude, I just saw this movie. It was so cool. Like, these big blue guys were fighting and expand that by 40 minutes.
Here we go. Best reenactment of your stoned friend describing a movie he just saw.
There you go.
James Cameron. By the way, little note to James Cameron. If you're going to talk for 15 to 20 minutes to an hour about your new game, have at least one screenshot to show people.
Not a logo.
Not interesting.
It was my first tweet to Mr. Cameron, pick or it didn't happen. And this was 20 minutes into his speech. Before we gotta get out of here.
There's one celebrity that can get away with talking about a game with no screenshots, and that's Angelina Jolie, if she's naked, talking about the next Tomb Raider. That's okay.
But we were E3 this year, more hardcore folks. We all like that. Even Nintendo's booth. Metroid by Team Ninja. Gonna kick you in the face. I tried to get a clip from like Do the Right Thing. Where's my money? You want your money? I got your money right here. He's just throwing it at his chest. Yeah. That's how I feel. Yeah, it's.
I mean, that's one of the awards for the E3 awards is the shut your stupid fanboy face. We talked about that in the E3 updates.
And that's because last year's, and we understood why Nintendo did this. They focused on things the mass media would pick up.
Yes.
And Brett picked up a copy of USA Today after all the press conferences and like, look, see, this is what it got you on the 12th page now. No one gives a shit.
Yeah, every year I look at USA Today, the biggest newspaper in the country. Every year after E3, I look, how much did all that bustle get you? Life Section 7D small picture. Nice. Nintendo announces new Wii Fit.
New Wii Fit.
That's what you got.
And I just thought.
Yeah, but you know what happened? 10 million people who still get their news from a newspaper just went, oh, good, I'll go buy that tomorrow.
USA Today is the highest circulating publication in the world. But even compared to last year, been pushed back way, way far.
Yeah. Well, and newspapers are having
so serious. Because in the past, I've seen E3 news on the front page of USA Today.
Right.
I just thought it would be. But, you know, what they've done is, this is buried on all the websites, mainstream news outlets covered the exact same. And almost everybody only mentions Nintendo.
Yeah.
And
Nintendo is, well, no, I take that back.
It's the most recognizable name, but here's...
I was going to say, but Sony.
Here's some angry clips.
Are you a hardcore gamer?
No, no, not really.
There you go, CNN, getting to the scoop of E3. interviewing a woman on the show floor about who doesn't like the game.
Oh, that's
nice.
Great.
That's how you... That's
no,
how
nobody E3. Here likes this stuff.
And here is another thing that CNN focused this entire piece on. Sent some model to E3 to get information. What game do you think it was on?
Wii Fit Plus.
My last set was like 230 calories, and it was like 50 minutes. Can you tell I'm sweating?
You're glowing.
Glowing.
Women don't sweat. They glow.
Oh, she knows.
Clearly, she doesn't know much about physiology.
Yes, and I also got, was this exciting, Fox News. Who wants to hear Fox News? This is easy E3.
All right, Steve, as you know, this year's Electronic Entertainment Expo, or E3, as the insiders call it, has some big surprises in store for
gamers.
Fans. New games, new technology, and a special surprise from the Fab Four.
All right, you said Fab Four. I know what that is, but I don't know anything else about technology.
Let's talk about it. I love that because...
I don't know anything about technology. I'm an expert.
Basically, from what I looked at, Fox News was kind of the only people to spend significant time on Microsoft.
Right.
Because they talked more about Tony Hawk and the Beatles, but then she just, you know, this lady had a really annoying way of saying.
All right, and also a lot of people familiar with the Wii game where you can play tennis,
it's like
golf.
It's like the first time she
Microsoft
read that word.
I just hate when they get these. It's like
Wii.
For things like this, coming from ABC, I know how that newsrooms like that work. They're an expert of nothing, so they have to learn it like that day.
Yeah,
but. If it's a trade show, you should send someone who knows what it is. Because the fact that they didn't interview anyone who had anything to do legitimately with them...
They had a correspondent there who knew what he was talking about.
No, but when they talk to people on the floor, when they broadcast it, they got some girl off the floor. It's important to get just showgoers, but the fact that CNN doesn't have contact, like, in Microsoft to get Peter Moore up...
the girl was that I played the clip from?
No.
She is an Atlas booth babe.
Great.
I'm just saying,
the fact that they can't get fucking Tony Hawk himself, like, that means they're not even trying, because if CNN goes, hi, I'm with CNN,
okay,
everyone in the games industry would shut up and line up at their door.
Okay.
I want to be on CNN. They desperately want to be on CNN.
Yeah. You're right. I didn't mean to open up this tangent, because we got to get the fuck out of here.
That's what it all amounts to. They try so hard, and then they still get laughed at on national TV.
Well, bam!
Yeah. we're going to go into a very lengthy interview with anybody want to guess?
I think it's Keith Cillian.
No, I'm sorry. Yes, it is Seth Killian. It's Seth Killian. He's talking to us tons about Dark Void, Capcom versus Tetsunoko.
Yeah.
And yeah, exactly. And
Lost Planet 2.
To be fair, I figured out an interesting...
Marvel versus Capcom 2?
Yes.
Quizzing.
I figured out an interesting way to... Say the name of the game properly.
I thought you were going to say edit the third segment, but go ahead.
No.
Go.
how to remember to call it Tatsunoko versus Capcom?
Yes.
Because I keep calling it the other way.
I've just been saying silently, keeping the T silent, saying Sesunoko.
Sesunoko. Because it was always X-Men versus Street Fighter, Marvel versus Capcom. It's always property versus Capcom. So that's how I remember it's Tatsunoko versus Capcom.
Ah, is it really?
Yes.
Great.
Why not just remember the title?
So here's our interview with him. We're going to be back in a second with Question of the Week, and that's it. No game deals. Fuck you.
It's same equipment.
All the awful noise. But here's yet another E3 E309 interview, but it's a good one. Hi, it's
Seth Killian.
Seth Killian.
Oh, man.
Capcom. Capcom Unity.
I'm from Planet Capcom. That's
Planet
right.
Planet Capcom. How's the show treating you?
I got to say, it's exhausting, but I've got a smile on my face.
You do? You do? I don't know if that's contractual.
It's actually frozen like this, unfortunately. It's a disease.
I saw we were down there, and you were just kind of showing off Tatsunoko versus Capcom, like, to multiple waves of people. Has that kind of been you all week?
Tatsunoko is my baby, so yeah, it's been very excited. It's got a really great reception so far.
That's what I want to talk about. I love the fact that game came out, because I really thought it'd be, like, impossible.
We, a lot of people at Capcom would have bet with you on that one. We thought it was impossible too, but,
all these weird characters that could be in, like, I don't know, Minnesota Station could own the rights to.
Yeah.
Still, like, I'm just very, very glad that came out. So, are there any new additions for the U.S.?
The team is now looking at, some very exciting possible additions. So things like additional characters.
Ooh, additional characters.
Everybody
from
likes that.
Both sides?
It will be evenly matched between Tatsunoko and the Capcom roster.
Are we allowed to make suggestions for Capcom characters?
You are, and they will go straight into the hole. No, actually, we've been listening very carefully to suggestions, trying to make sure we have characters that people will be psyched about.
So Breath of Fire, a lot of Breath of Fire stuff.
Okay, we hear constantly about Breath of Fire, yes. Maximo is a lock.
So how are people doing with it?
It's fantastic because people that don't even play fighting games, are jamming out and they're like, what just happened? And I was like, you have a big smile on your face, don't you?
Yeah.
And they're like, it was awesome. So, yeah. You can really just pick it up and play and start, you know, it's got that same great versus style. Pick it up, start mashing, things are happening. And then as you start to figure out what's really going on, you start to get into the depth of it and, you know, get your strats.
What is kind of the underlying, like, main strat, like the, you know, like the focus attack equivalent?
Right.
Like MVC2 had the juggling and summoning character stuff.
Yeah, it's definitely closer to MVC2. So it's got most of those mechanics in very much the same style. It's got some new sort of hardcore stuff you can tag in the air. You can do crazy stuff called like Baroque mode, which is like a custom mode.
Okay.
Where you can trade like the life that you'd heal up if you tagged out. The ability to do like a longer combo. So that's a little more technical, but you know, the supers are still just like fireball with two buttons.
Right.
And, you know, they're insane. They're all feature giant robots doing things that are hard to understand, but also hilarious.
yeah.
But it all works within the context of me beating them up with Beautiful Joe. I was very excited. I'm the guy who plays as all the, cartoony characters in every Capcom game, and I tend to lose with Mega Man and Beautiful Joe, Servbot.
We've got Roll and Mega Man and, Beautiful Joe is awesome. And the way we actually settled on the character lineup was, sort of like to the horror of the marketing department. Basically the development team was allowed to just pick whoever they thought was awesome. So on the Tatsunoko side, it's characters that are all from their youth that they really liked and always wanted to see in a game.
Mm-hmm.
And when we actually have the game in the office, people, our Japanese staff from like accounting or whatever, will be like, is that Yataman? And we'll be like, yes, it is. And they'll be like, I love Yataman. And we haven't seen that kind of energy from accounting in ever.
I was going to say, who are the characters from the Tatsunoko side that the Americans would be most familiar with?
Probably Battle of the Planets is the best shot that's gotten the, you know, most people aren't that familiar with Tatsunoko, period.
Is it known as G-Force?
Some places G-Force, some places Battle of the Planets, Science Team Ninja, Gachaman in Japan.
Wow.
They're the characters I recognize.
Yes, and, you'll remember they, at the end, you know, like Voltron, you're like, they're getting beat up, and then it's like, why don't we do the awesome Voltron thing where we get to kill the robot?
Yes.
So Gachaman had the same thing where they would form this giant fiery phoenix and, beat the crap out of whoever they were fighting, and you get to form the giant fiery phoenix and
beat Ryu.
It's rad, yeah, and burn Ryu up. So they're a delight. And on the Capcom side too, the characters are just weird, like Rival Schools, Onimusha, you know, Chun-Li and Ryu, of course.
So glad I'm hearing Rival Schools being brought up again.
Yes,
good to hear again.
Batsu, and so we've got, but you know, these are characters that the designers just all. They love these guys. They're like, this is a character we always wanted, we always loved, and so we're throwing him in. Beautiful Joe made it in the same way. And Saki, who is from a Japanese quiz game that was never released, not even a remotely fighting game character at all, and she's also alive in the Tatsunoko universe.
So none of these characters are indicative of an updated game. There's no Mega Man Legend or Beautiful Joe coming out.
No, I wouldn't try and read too closely. This is basically the private madness of a design team that nobody ever thought would bother the West, but not.
Anyway, now. Forums, don't listen to Seth. Feel free to speculate and read a lot into it.
How big was the headache to wrangle all of those? Because in the U.S., it's all those characters were licensed out to different companies, like Time Warner had some. And
yeah, so there were a lot of rights holders. Some of the licenses turned out had expired. That simplified things in some ways. Tatsunoko was really helpful at sort of opening the doors and pointing us in the right directions.
Should have been, yeah.
Well, right. I mean, it's in their interest, but, you know, this was not a Western targeted game, and we weren't really thinking in those directions. But when they started to see some of the fan reaction and the enthusiasm the game started to generate, they really got behind it in a big way and made stuff happen.
Which one is that? Is that yours?
It's probably mine. I couldn't hear it, so it's probably me.
Here.
Yeah. It's great because I can't hear it at all, but I know it's really annoying.
Leave slack in your life.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can do it too. No, it's you.
Yeah, it's no,
me.
It's him.
It's, we got to figure out which headset that is.
Yeah.
It's this one.
I do, and I'm very proud of. I'm proud of you for bringing this game over here, man. And I want to encourage people who are into fighting games to throw it a shot.
You know,
play it a little bit.
By all means, and you know, it's a Wii exclusive, and you know, if you want to be throwing a Hadouken on the Wii, this is your shot. But it's also, this is not a game that really requires a lot of apology. So
yeah.
It's super fun right away, and I also think, you know, this is one of the best looking, Brett knows the Wii like nobody, but I think it's one of the best looking games on the Wii, just straight out. So, and there's tons of love in the character animations.
The 2D animation is just perfect. Like, I don't know why there aren't more fighting games. Is there going to be a stick in conjunction with?
We are talking about doing something like that. So we want to see sort of, you know, again, what the engaging interest and reaction, but that's something I'd love to do.
It's pretty good. Sticks are finally becoming readily available after like how long? When did Street Fighter come out? April?
February.
Yeah.
Jesus. So, yeah. Like now I'm finally getting reports. Okay. They have a PS3 arcade stick. Finally. And speaking of which, the Marvel vs. Capcom 2.
Yes.
Yeah. How's that going?
That's going rad. So that game's, right around the corner for us.
Capcom versus Tatsunoko?
That will be winter is what we're
winter,
saying.
Okay.
So think, you know, late 2009, early 2010, somewhere in there. Definitely worth the wait on that one. And, the Marvel versus Capcom
summer.
2 is going to be the game, this summer. That's going to keep everybody.
Did I read that you can port your own MP3s into the soundtrack?
Yes, custom soundtracks on both systems.
Yay. All my friends with their Dreamcast custom soundtrack games can put it away.
That makes me happy that you have it. Yeah, because that's all of my fighting game buddies have their own custom soundtracks for Marvel, and now you'll be able to do it legit.
Now you can retire that boot disc.
That's correct.
Have you played much of the online yet? I think that's the concern right now.
I have, and you know, it's always seeing is believing, and I understand people being skeptical, but anybody that played Street Fighter HD Remix.
Yeah, that's what I had an argument with friends, like, there's never going to be able to pull it off. And we played HD Remix,
The online, I think, is really good, and, you know, the interest from, like, the really serious players, I think, bears that out, and it's the same thing that's going into Marvel vs. Capcom 2, so I think it's going to be popping. On our tests, it's been fantastic. And, you know, you have lobbies that people have been asking for. So quarter match, get them up there and play with your buddies.
Match.
Yeah. And the graphics actually look really great. So we included the original sprites and we love the sprites and they're all still in there. But on the HD monitors, it's not kind.
It
blows up those sprites to giant size. And you think it's going to be like, oh, it'll be this cool retro nostalgia look. It just looks weird.
It's nasty. It has no idea how to deal with sprites.
So we've got some great new graphical filters on MBC2 that really make it look pretty and full widescreen support.
I saw that. You had something up on Unity about screenshot comparison, the old, new, and upscaled HD and pixels.
Yeah.
It was really interesting. If you head over to Capcom Unity. You can see exactly what it's going to look like. I thought that was great.
I like that you're plugging.
I
appreciate that.
I go to your site all the time for like wacky ass Street Fighter and stuff, man.
That is our bread and butter. So we love the wacky nonsense.
It's a nice little blog with all Capcom stuff.
What does this speak to now that
MVC2 is coming out, does that finally say maybe Capcom and Marvel are buddy-buddy?
That is the billion-dollar question for fighting game fans. The deal is, unfortunately, I can tell you, definitely just Marvel versus Capcom 2. Very specific. You know, we're not changing with things in the game and just re-releasing it with this updated graphics and online.
But first week downloads speak volumes, people.
That's exactly my feeling about it. So if you know, we have a lot of friends at Marvel, but they're big business now with the movies and whatnot. So they have a lot of people competing for their licenses. But if we can show them that a game like Marvel vs. Capcom 2 really has those legs, then anything's possible.
Have to be terrible with these characters. See, look at this. We've been playing it for 8 years.
Activision doesn't have to make all the Spider-Man games.
Yeah, how about that?
Just saying.
What else on the floor are you most proud of right now? Let's get away from kicking and punching.
I got to stick to the Capcom floor?
Yeah.
Oh, come on. I love the kicking and punching.
I want to talk about the Dark Void because I'm very excited to see Crimson Skies, folks. Back and like dealing with the same weird time period.
Yeah.
And we, Brett and I were just talking, fucking Rocketeer. Like the Rocketeer still holds up.
Yeah. I watched it like literally 2 weeks ago and I was like, I'm having so much fun watching this movie. And I hadn't seen it in probably 10 or 12 years. So I was scared.
Yeah. Nice. So. We've got a cosplayer. Have you guys seen the cosplayer running around?
No.
We've got a guy in the full Will suit from Dark Void. So he's got the gun and the mask and the jetpack and the whole nine yards. It looks pretty cool. And definitely they're like, is that the Rocketeer?
Can we wear it?
You could try.
Okay.
That gun is like 50 pounds. Seriously.
Really?
That guy has major guns.
Wow.
That thing is really heavy and he's walking around. Or he's got at least one big gun.
And I also got a little time in finally with Lost Planet 2, the same level Brett played. And that was pretty kick-ass. I was the good one. I shot his leg, got in that beast mouth, while the rest of my team kept shooting it to take it away. I'm firing at his heart and then he shit me out and killed me.
The best part is if you actually watch yourself get crapped out, like you see the whole back portion undulating as it's about to shoot you out. That game, I gotta say, like, versus what people think they know about Lost Planet versus what planet that game is actually living on, it's like a whole different universe. So the team actually calls it internally like Lost Planet Squared.
Yeah.
Cause that really is their approach. Just the multiplayer stuff that they're putting in there, I think is going to change the way people think about multiplayer. It's going to be getting ripped off for years cause it's so hype.
Really?
But these bosses are like, you know, everyone talks about Shadow of the Colossus, right?
Yeah.
But this is really it. Like, these are things are way more interactive than anything ever was in Shadow of the Colossus. That broke the door open.
Right.
But you're inside of it. You're on top of it.
Yeah.
You can stay far away from it if you're smart.
And this thing was huge, and its motion was – it felt
– Starship Troopers-esque. I'll say that's the best compliment.
The way it moves around the level, so it feels, like, somewhat natural now. Like even Shadow of the Colossus, they kind of just stayed –
right.
In one spot, kind of lumbered. This thing is like looking around, diving underwater.
It doesn't really pause for you to hit the weak spot.
No.
It's going to keep moving. You're going to have to keep moving with it.
I've played, you know, just that demo level we're showing probably 200 times.
Wow.
The salamander is smart too. It's not even like on a track.
Yeah.
Like it goes in different directions and it will attack whoever's like doing the most damage and pissing him off. And he'll try and eat people who don't have the right kind of weapon. So it's awesome.
And I just remembered playing that. What was that? Big worm, you get the achievement for, and middle of the game, like, I could really use another person right now.
Yeah.
Four-person co-op, a little minor feature that the game will have, so.
Out of being all the Starship Troopers fantasies are finally coming to light. What else was on?
We got Spyborgs.
I saw that. I saw it's completely different from last year.
Yes, that is a game that I don't even know if 180 degrees is enough degrees to point it where it is, so.
It's the last time I saw it, the guy down there was like, so, you saw it before? I'm like, yeah, I remember a beaver commercial with it was like a river of crap with two beavers playing banjos in it, and he's like, yeah, that's fun. The game's nothing like that anymore.
That is actually true. So they've basically completely re-envisioned the game. And it's really, those are some of my favorite games, like games like Ape Escape, stuff like that, where you're sort of, you know, it's a little bit of jumping around, beating people up, that kind of business.
And a monkey with a lightsaber.
Yeah, it's got fun motion stuff. And, you know, the characters all have cool attacks and team-up attacks. And it just also, I think it just looks really good.
Yeah, I was going to say, I saw a level, one of the bosses, this huge robot. Like, it's like, it's, you know, lurking over this rooftop. And it looked pretty good. Like, it looked better than any other action game on Wii that I've seen. Like, just the lighting effects of all these dials and things on the robot, it looked good.
That's pretty much Capcom's approach to the Wii right now is not, like, no apologies. Not like, well, it's on the Wii, so therefore it's got to look bad, or no one cares what it looks. No, we're just, like, going whole hog on that, trying to knock it out of the park. So
I believe you're the only publisher developer to not put out a game with the word party in the title.
Well, those guys are selling millions of units. So,
so it's a matter of time till we get our Onimusha party.
The fans demanded it.
Onimusha party.
Yes.
Sorry, I thought it was
well,
funny.
We already had the Smash Brothers Onimusha several years ago.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
That's kind of close. What about anything outside of Capcom? Have you seen, like, that been announced at E3 that you were like, oh, shit?
I have been living in a tiny bubble at E3. I don't get to see anything. So I played Batman for a few minutes.
Oh, good.
And my big fear, so I was talking, one of my buddies works on the game, and I was talking to him saying, you know, this game looks amazing, but I hope it's not like WarioWare. I don't want like 8 Batman minigames where it's like, now it's time to sneak. Now you get to punch him in the face.
Right.
But it really looks like a really well-integrated experience, so I'll be definitely looking forward to that.
I hope so. We had an interview in our first E3 update podcast, and then just with all the people, Paul Dini, Kevin Conroy, Mark Hamill, all people involved in the animated series that was so goddamn good. Like
canon.
And canon. Like it just, it makes me feel like it can't be bad, but I same thing. I'm like, I'm purposely distancing myself from it until I play it. Yeah. I don't want to get overhyped or anything about that.
But that's looking really good. Of course, I've been checking out all the fighting games and see where that's at. But,
what's your favorite so far?
Tekken 6 looks pretty good. It's Tekken.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
The thing. I was like, this is completely Tekken.
Yeah, it is. I don't know. I mean, you can't ask me about fighting games. I'm a huge nerd for this. So KOF, you know, is KOF,
but
it's
nice
to see it back.
There's a line
downstairs.
Yeah. So that's glory. It's like a circus of color. it's popping.
Was there any new, How's the Street Fighter 4 like online community doing? Like
it's still ridiculous. The tournament mode update we did, or championship mode, but where you can play in the tournaments, really
just very
is,
addicting. By the
has
way.
Gotten people going crazy. So I matches constantly. I don't know. I never have to wait more than like half a second now for a tournament match.
Is there DLC for 4 SF4?
It's just the costumes. Yeah, there's no plans right now for character DLC or anything like that.
Okay.
So, you know, the patch was free with the tournaments, and that's been really fun. It's a nice way to also find players that are right at your level, because, you know, the ranked matches, you'd one time randomly get a guy who was, like, literally 100 times better than you.
Like, or the crap where, like, I have, you know, like, 2,600 battle points that I've earned over a lot of fights, and then I just happen to catch a really good guy on the first match he's ever played.
Yeah, the rising star.
And I lost it all.
Yeah.
I'm going to break everything.
Yeah.
Actually,
Mike Grimm?
True story. Oh, yeah. We got Mike Grimm. He used to be an intern for Games Radar, and then he went to 1UP.
Uh-huh.
He has broken multiple 360 controllers because of that exact thing where, like, he'll build it up and then lose to someone who, like, it's his first time playing online, but he's really good.
Yeah.
And, like, 3,000 points gone. Like,
yeah.
And he has, like, eBay listings of his broken controllers, so you want parts, but, like, he sold the game finally because he's like, I cannot afford to break any more controller.
That is awesome.
Yeah. I did break a mirror because of Bionic Commando, though.
Oh.
SF2 is the last controller I've ever broke.
Well, tournament mode, you never lose points, really.
Yeah, that's why it's fun.
They only go up, so you get ranked against good people, but you don't have to worry about getting screwed.
I still haven't played this goddamn game.
That's either very dumb or very smart.
It's at the point now where I had to stop. Like, I'm forcing myself to stop playing it because just working in this industry, I feel like I need to move on. But I keep, I'm like, well, I've only got like an hour.
Yeah.
So I'll play like 7 matches of this. And then I'm sitting as perfectly still as I can. My muscles are tense.
All right. We'll just wrap.
Yeah. Sure.
Street Fighter booty call late at night.
Yes. Like literally.
It's 3 a.m. and I'm just going to play one match.
I could wake up at 7 a.m. and, like, I could get ready for work. I just won't wash my hair today. I'm just going to play.
Okay. Well,
apparently if I breathe, I break everything right now. So.
We're going to let Seth get back to what he loves to do.
It's like a catch and release. I'm a fish swimming back into the fighting game pool.
I hope you're ready to get your stand on.
I'm extremely ready to be standing again. My back doesn't know what it's like to sit anymore.
Thank you for performing your 700th interview of the last 2 days.
If I wasn't happy about this game, I don't think I could have done it, but I'm super psyched and the reaction has been amazing so far. So
yeah, man. And you, you listeners, let us know what you think. Maybe we can bring Seth back with some Tatsunoko crap.
I love pull up with Tatsunoko love to come back.
All right. Thanks a lot, Seth.
All right, later, guys.
Perfect.
Man, does anybody want to listen to the rest of this motherfucking podcast?
Yeah!
Get it all. We're coming to Rock Band soon. The Beatles. But
never heard of them. All of them.
I didn't do it on mic, and I should have. I'm like, you know, you should get Beatallica.
Oh yeah.
If the Beatles and Metallica had one giant baby, it's fucking hysterical. And then I said they might be giants, and his eyes lit up. Like, yes.
Oh yeah, he was really excited about having.
Now, and, who's he?
Charles Foster, Chris Foster, lead designer of rock band.
Okay.
Beatles. Yeah. But this is.
I bet he gets. How many times a day do you think someone says, "Hey, you know what you should get next?"
Yeah,
how
I know,
many
I
times?
Know.
No, I asked him. 100? I asked him what he wanted. He said he would love to do the Monkees.
Yeah, I think he was kidding. But
what?
That's what he said.
I think he was kidding. Brett, did you know who the Monkees are?
Yes, we already went through this.
Okay.
God damn it.
You're the one who then incorrectly made a reference.
Yeah.
So you know the Monkees, but not the Beatles.
God damn it. All right, I got to get going. This is TV on the Radio. Also this week, Coheed and Cambria and a live Fish song. Yay.
Gross.
Which one?
Don't know. Lost
okay.
Everything. we don't have your comments to read back because we just flew in the goddamn city.
Yeah.
Right, what's this question of the week?
Very sorry. We were busy being at the most important game show of the year.
Back to normal next week. But the new question of the week, which is already in the forums, and most of you probably already answered it at this point. Question 38, what was your favorite moment from this year's E3? Like, we had two updates from the show floor. We just spent a lot of this podcast talking about it. What did you see that you're like, this reaffirmed my faith in something? This is a new game now that I know exists, I'm all about. Something positive that you could take away from this year's E3. That's it. Post in talkradar.com/gamesradar.com/forums.
I created that award for our E3... Games Radar E3 Awards category because I saw the Mass Effect 2 stuff and I'm like, that's it, I'm going home. Immediately, I'm going to erase my old game save and I'm starting over and I'm going to play Mass Effect through entirely. Probably next week when I won't be here podcasting.
Yes, I'll be here podcasting horribly.
Yeah.
Next week, we'll be back to normal. We'll have the answer.
Which you're not going to give it an answer?
Oh, my favorite moment? Well, I think...
Did you go apeshit for the Metroid thing? I wasn't there to see you.
Well, the problem was we were live blogging, so it's really hard to absorb any of that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think coming away from it, that's the thing. I really can't wait to see that. I also was beside myself about Final Fantasy XIV until Online showed up on the title. I lost myself in the moment. Oh, my God. Oh, God. What? Next year? Oh, and then
I've seen a crowd boo, be silent, applaud, but I've never seen a crowd at one of these things kind of like... Bullshit.
Yeah.
Like everyone's like, what? Get the fuck out of here. This is not coming out. And then he starts showing the screen the whole
next year.
There's not every eye is on the screen. Everybody's looking at each other like,
is this happening?
And I'm like, oh my God, it looks like Panzer Dragon Saga. Oh
yes,
my God.
It
looks a little less pretty than 13. Oh my God, this world looks really huge and not like a series of rooms like normal fight. Oh my God, here's the word online. Great. Here's a brief break of me playing Final Fantasy.
I also walked out very happy to play more of Shadow Complex.
Yeah.
Really like Left 4 Dead 2. All the haters can go kiss my ass.
I'll say, I didn't get to say this. Split Second. You were right. I fucking loved it. It was my favorite car-based game.
I really thought you would.
It's amazing. It's like a vehicular combat game where you don't use idiotic variations on a turtle shells. You use aspects of the environment to collapse, explode, and throw.
Yeah.
At enemies on other parts of the track.
Yeah. Well, did you play the airport level?
Yes.
So to give you guys a little more, basically you build up
a meter by drifting.
A meter by drifting.
Drafting.
And basically what happens is when someone in front of you is near an obstacle that exists in the environment, you press a button and you trigger that obstacle.
You detonate a propane tank on the side of the road. It'll blow up in the guy's face.
It'll blow up in the guy's face. At one point during the last lap of the particular area was in an airport, I rounded a corner, and I'm not kidding, there was an entire jet airliner crashed, sliding toward me on the pavement
what
with sparks
do,
and flames.
It was
more unbelievable.
Precise, it's not even on the last lap. You can do that almost any time, but what you have to do
when I was playing, it was the last lap.
I had to get clarification because you build up your meter, and if you remember, you probably took down the navigation tower and opened up a completely new route, and then you have to go around again, and by that time, the airplane has no way of touching down. And slides into the entire racetrack, and everybody was watching. Like, what?
Yeah, it's insane.
It seems
really cool.
It seemed like what Full Auto was promising like 3 years ago.
Yeah, Well, and that's, you know, that's funny because Full Auto, my big problem with Full Auto was they're like, oh, it's the most destructive race game ever. But everything happened behind you.
Everything happened behind you. And like, if you crashed, your players would wait for you.
Yeah. In this game, it happens in front of you. Now, I'm not sure how long it'll feel fresh, you know, because even with all this stuff going on, if the racing isn't sound and doesn't work well, I'm going to get tired of that really quick.
Good, and the HUD is
but
great.
It feels nice.
It looks extremely, extremely pretty. It was stylistically.
It looks like Burnout.
It was the best looking racing. It looks better than Burnout.
I mean, visually, the style.
I wanted to do a racing comparison, and oddly enough, Need for Speed looks better than Forza. Never thought that would happen.
Need for Speed's
Need
hot.
For Speed Shift. Yeah. Craziness. And what did you think was the best show, Eric?
Best show. Well, you know what? I have to say I really enjoyed live blogging the press conferences. We've never done that before.
Yeah.
And I liked it.
Yeah. The Nintendo one worked best because the software we were using actually worked. Mm-hmm. I was able to upload images.
You told me before I came in, like, go see Bayonetta, go see Alpha Protocol, go see Singularity. Mm-hmm. I didn't see any of those.
But somebody did. Michael saw it.
Yeah, he did, but he's not here.
Well, I can. Do you want me to tell you about this?
Yeah, I mean, you said you really told me to. You told me to take a look at those.
Yeah, well, I mean, Bayonetta is the one that at the judges event we were all coming away going, oh my gosh, that game is really cool.
Yeah.
Because on first glance you look at it, oh, it's Devil May Cry one. But the thing to realize is, it's from the guys who invented Devil May Cry.
Oh, it is.
Yeah. It's. To me, at least some of them.
And this is
involved in
so
it.
Much fun to say. Looks like Devil May Cry with no restraint.
It's literally the way I put it. I wrote it up in one of our top 10 things. Is like it's like they didn't have a guy on the team whose job it was to say, you know what, that's kind of crazy. We shouldn't do that. It's okay. Your main character is a beautiful woman with not one gun, not two guns, four guns, one in each hand, one in each foot, and she's very acrobatic. So she does things like if an enemy drops a spear, she'll slam it into the ground and spin around on it like a stripper with her guns shooting everybody around her. Mm. Also. Even more bizarre, her costume is made of hair. It's her own hair, and it's alive. So if she needs to do a special move, her hair comes off of her body, forms the form of a giant boot or fist or dragon's head. And just, and like the boot stomps, the fist punches, or in one boss battle I was fighting, this dude was huge. And he had like this, you know, he's the size of a building and he's got a big thing. And
when is this out? Is this a fall or is this a summer?
I don't know.
Because it seems like
it's very close to done in the levels we're playing.
We're running out of time. Tell me a little bit about Singularity because I really feel bad for not seeing it.
Singularity, man, I don't know I don't know if Singularity is going to be as cool as it has potential to be.
Uh-huh.
Basically, the idea of Singularity is it takes place on an island where you can control time for each individual object around you. Now, what I mean by that is if you see a broken crate, you can reverse that crate in time so that it reforms itself into a full crate with something inside that you can then use. If you see an enemy, you can shoot them or shoot them with your mind power, and they will literally age to dust right in front of you.
Yeah.
But in the way all these things come together in battle is ridiculous. And also, because this, you're able to do all this stuff because you have this special suit and you're in this specific location, so there are these time ghosts zooming around that will pop forward and backwards.
It just sounds like Lost with Time Shift.
It's very much like that, and it might work really beautifully. Like at one point, I was in the level, and this guy hooked himself up to these electrodes and literally rebuilt an entire skyscraper because he needed to.
Awesome,
you know. But it has potential to be really crazy because there's all this game altering magic you can do. Basically,
right.
It's also completely chaotic. So I don't know if it'll come together, but it's got really big potential. I'm more interested in that than I am in Wolfenstein.
Yeah.
And Wolfenstein looks great.
Oh, yeah, I hate to cut you off, but I got to edit this thing and get it up in 1 hour. And so
Actually, I never got to answer my favorite moment of
V3. Oh, go ahead.
My favorite moment of V3 was trying to figure out what to nominate for Game of the Show. Because Mass Effect 2 looks fantastic. Modern Warfare 2 looks fantastic. I've got, you know, things like The Last Guardian and, you know, there's so much great stuff.
To get The Last Guardian because it was just an enhanced trailer with a title.
Well, it didn't get it, but I'm so geeked about that game.
Oh, it looks awesome. But okay, we got to get out of here. See, we had a much happier E3 podcast, even though I hate my life right now. I'm under a tremendous amount of stress.
If it's any consolation, we all feel the same way about your life.
Thank you. I'll see you sometime in the future.
Next week, check out Games Radar's Twitter page. Check out the question of the week in GamesRadar.com/forums, and also check for the Uncharted 2 beta keys on the live site right now.
Yes.
Go back and read a couple of our old E3 features that you didn't read the first time. It's funnier than that other stuff they sent out in 2 seconds.
Yeah, and come back next week. We'll have lots more E3 stuff.
All right. Wish I was dead.
That's all, folks.